I would like to start the sermon with the reading from Lamentations chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. Verses 19 through 26 says this. You can follow up there. You know how my reading is, so you better follow. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood of the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But these I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. This is what he recalled. The steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is the God, is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hope. What is hope? Do you have hope? The Christian teaching of hope declares that evil, death, pain, and suffering is not the final world in the world in which we live. The Christian teaching of hope also declares that the light of hope is something we ought to share to those around us. And I want to finish this three-first statement with the theme for the day. And the theme for the day is going to be up there for you and says this. The candle of hope, the candle that we light up today, means that light, life, and all that is good and godly will prevail. The light of hope means that everything that is good, that is worth, that is life-giving, that is godly, will prevail. The Advent, this season, precedes Christmas, and it is a season of hope and a season of expectation, a season that drives us to sing the song called Little Town of Bethlehem, and we say, the hopes and fears of all those years rest in thee tonight. How is hope? How's your hope? Do you have hope? When we look around our own circumstances, our own life, when we start to see darkness surrounding us and we stop to focus on the light of God, we look at our marriages and we start to look and it's like, wow, darkness. We look at the life of those we have lost in the year, in the last year, and we look and we think, oh, darkness. We might be looking at our finances and we look and there is all darkness that we see. There is no hope there. We look in our life circumstances, the sickness of our lives, and all that we see is darkness, darkness, darkness. Hope is nowhere to be found. If we look around the world, I have some statistics here for you. You see darkness all over. Every 5 seconds, a child dies from hunger-related disease. Globally, the International Labor Organization estimates that there are 4.5 million people trapped in forced sexual exploitation globally. Approximately 75 to 80% of human trafficking, it is sex-related. Alexis writes in his book of human misery. Benjamin Skinner, a historian, says this, the number of slaves in the world today is far greater than ever before. Skinner also says that it is estimated that 30,000 people die each year from abuse, disease, torture, neglect. From those 45% are children. From the 75 to 80%, 45% of those children are children who are being trafficked for sex and slavery. Based on GlobeCom, 12.7 million cancer cases will be diagnosed in the next year. 12.7 million and 7.6 of those will result in death. I checked the defense website, and the list of casualties on the wars, it is of about 7,000. Boy, we need hope in the world we live today, don't we? As we look in our own life, we are crying out for hope. Man, don't we need hope in the world that we live today? But here's the thing. When we think about hope, we think of this idea, we think of this emotional thing that happens within our hearts. We think of this of a way of hope that is highlighted on a passion that just excites us. Thomas Aquinas, a church father, he says this. He talks about this thing called the natural hope that arises within us. Psychology calls it the same way, as a natural hope. We all have this natural hope within us. But these are not biblical hope. That's called, it's a natural thing. It's something that is embedded in us. It is no different than the hope that comes from my dog. Tell you a little story. A few weeks ago, I was woke up to come to church. Somebody broke in my car, right? Couldn't call the cop then because I had to come to church. And so I let it be. On Monday morning, I called the police department, and I said, hey, somebody broke in my car and stole some things, and I need to report that. And one of those things, a little side note, was the church credit card. The guy went to a bar here in town and drank it a couple of rounds on us. So here you go, right? We called and disputed. It was all good, but he still drank a little bit on us. Look at that. That's the kind of church, right, that we are, right? I can't imagine this guy come with a Delaware Christian Church card and it's like, hey, round for everybody. That would be great. Let's do this. Yeah, fun. Anyways, I don't know why I'm talking about that, but here you go. So the police officer come to my house. He come to the front door, and I'm going to take him through the back, through the garage, and to show him the car, where the car was and all this stuff. And as soon as I opened my door, I saw a bunny across the street, and I have a dog, right? The dog thought, I hope I got that bunny. Doof! Out of the door I went. So here am I at about 6:30 in the morning. Me and this police officer running after my dog. Who is running after the dog? And let me tell you, it was a pretty scene to be seen, right? Welcome to my life. But that's the kind of hope that we see. That's the kind of hope that we perceive. Is this passion, this excitement that rise around us to go get something that we hope we'll get. We know we're not going to make it. We know we're never going to achieve that. We know we can never find what we're seeking. But we hope with a false expectation that we'll get what we want, what we deserve, or what we desire. But for us human beings who lives for much more than just this drive to get something, God has prepared something more profound for us than just this little desire, to this idea of getting something that you don't feel you can get. I remember, in my researches, I love this story from Nelson Mandela. He was in prison for 27 years at the end of those years, his daughter come and bring him a baby, his granddaughter. And as he was in there, he holds that baby in his hand and he's like excited. And he named the baby Ziziwe, which in the African language means hope. He was asked why. He says this: during all my years in prison, hope never left me. Hope is what sustains us when we are not ready to give up on God beaming light into our darkness or placing life into our weary hands. This morning, one of the members here of Delaware Christian Church, Dave Benweger, he was sharing his story with me. He was driving from Normal, Illinois, back to Delaware. He works and he drives around, and he was coming, and he's driving behind a semi, and the semi had his name, Frog. And a cross. Never thought nothing of it. He's passing it around, and then there's this big, like, frog and a cross on the side of the semi. And he's like, that's interesting, right? Like, who drives a truck around with the name Frog? So he gets to the door, and the frog stands for an acronym, which for me describes exactly what hope is. This is what the acronym frog is: forever relying on God. And here's the thing that is so interesting. He said, Sam, I was puzzled by that. So I went home and I researched that company. That guy has one truck to whom he makes his living. That's hope. Relying on God. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You know that God is fighting for you. You know that God is working in your favor. You relying on God. That's hope. The Greek word for hope in the New Testament is up there for is the word elpis. This is what is this is the definition of the word in the Greek, and is the same in the Hebrew, in a sense. It's not the same word, but it's the same connotation in the Hebrew. So that's why I just bring in one for you. Hope, desire of some good with expectation of obtaining. That's completely different from the kind of hope we have, isn't it? Because our hope is like, we're gonna get on the wishing a little bit, but it's like, I wish I'm gonna get that. You have no this expectation of obtaining anything. You don't think you can. It is just this dream that you will achieve that. Not in the biblical sense of hope. In the biblical sense of hope is the desire of some good with expectation of obtaining it. An expectation or certainty in the fulfillment of something desired. Relying on God. But when we look at this present hurts and uncertainty over the future and what it holds, we find ourselves consistently needing hope. And I love what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 5. This is what he says that is up there for you. And I'm reading from the Message. Here's what it says. There's more to come. This is not it. One little thing here. I was listening to a podcast this week about an atheist debating Tim Keller, a biblical scholar, someone that I love to listen and read his books. And the debate was, does man need God? Is there a need for God for man to coexist? And the atheist was saying this. He's like, there's no need for God because this is it. This life we live on earth, this is it. There's nothing beyond this. We don't need God to live this life. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Look at all this statistic we went through. Look at all the lives we lose. Look at all the pain. Look at all the suffering. If there isn't more to this life, it is a very hopeless place to be. Wouldn't you agree? Paul is like, I know you're going through some marital problems. Laura and I do that every day. But there is more to that. There's more to come. Better things to come. You know that your kids disobey you and drives you crazy. And you're like, your patience is running thin. And Paul's like, I know you're desperate right now. But there's more to come. You know that your boss in your workplace is giving you a hard time. And Paul's like, I know it is difficult. I know it is dark. I know there's no hope there. There is more to come. I know you're sick and you feel like you don't want to wake up in the morning. In your life, you feel like it's just fading away. Paul is like, don't you worry about it. There is more to come. I don't know what you're going through. You might name it. Let me tell you what Paul is telling you and I. There is more to come. We continue to shout out praises even when we are hemmed in with troubles. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. And how the patience, in turn, forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Stop there. Whatever God will do next. Here's the thing. There's more to come, and that more thing to come, it is God doing. That's hope. Forever relying on God, because we know that whatever we're going through right now, it is not it. There's more to come, and whatever is to come, it is God doing it. In alert expectation as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what hope is about, is expecting God to do something for us. And not only that, it is holding the container and seeing being filled because God Himself is generous towards you and I. But because we lack this understanding of biblical hope, we go from a dispassionate understanding of hope, this natural understanding, to wishful thinking, right? We go from you know, I can't achieve that, so I wish. And we can wish, we may wish upon a star, we can wish a brand new car, we can wish a new marriage, we can wish a new job, we can wish a new circumstance, but what does wishing do? What does wishing do? Hope is much more than that. Hope is much deeper than that. Hope goes so much deeper, requiring risk and assuming responsibilities. That's what hope does. It requires that we take some risks and that we assume some responsibilities. So instead of just wishing, we start to say something like this: I hope that my life will be useful. I hope that my life would matter. I hope to be a good person by doing godly things, by living godly life. Hope always long for things that matter. Like seeing too that the poor have bread in their table. Seeing that your neighbor have clothes. Seeing that your friend who is sick in the hospital have money to pay their bills. Seeing that you find yourself with some toys in your hand, not because you gave it to your own kids, but that because you found yourself playing with some homeless kids in a homeless shelter. Hope goes much deeper. It requires risks and assume responsibility. You know why? Because hope has everything to do with God, what God wants in me. Wishing has everything to do with what I want from other people and objects and even God Himself. Biblical hope gets us involved in what God is doing. So it is about what God wants in me rather than what I want from other people and from God and from objects themselves. Hope grows in the soil of the possibilities of God, not in the dirt of life, present circumstances. And so many of us, we stripped God from His power by putting our hope on something that cannot give us hope at all. I'll say that again. Hope grows in the soil of the possibilities of God, not in the dirt of life, present circumstances. Hope is anchored in the faithfulness of God. That's what Lamentation tells us. Here's the real surprise about hope that makes God's power behind it so crucial. Hope thrives especially when we are facing struggles, when we are facing dark times in our lives. Look what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. This is what he says: what no eyes has seen, no ear have heard, no heart of men imagine, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. See, I don't know what you're hoping for, but that's not even a glimpse of what God can do in your life, in your circumstances. Paul is saying, like, you can think about what God can do. That's why I believe God is a God of miracle. And when we talk about miracle, I'm not talking about like a guy with no hand. Now you pray and the hand shows up, right? That's great. I understand that. That's great. And I believe God can do that too. But most of God's miracle comes to our lives in little increments, in things that matter to us in everyday life. It might be a little light in the darkness of a bad situation in your workplace. Might be a little light in the sickness that you are facing every day. It might be a little change in perspective. Because we know that hope is found in little things, not in big things. And without hope, there is no such a thing. There is no such a thing as human being. We are wired for hope. We need hope. One can live without faith, and many have it, unfortunately. One can live without having love, and there are many people out there like that, and they're usually selfish and unhappy. One can live without joy, and that's typically the grouchy person, right? But one cannot live without hope, of some kind of hope. Whether they follow Jesus or not, hope is crucial for every human being's future. And that's why the enemy, in my opinion, came up with this weapon that often trying to destroy us, which is the word despair. Have you ever met someone in despair? They're willing to do whatever because they can't see the future. So they do whatever right now because they don't see that it's anything possible, that anything can come and change their future. So they do the unthinkable right now, because they don't think God can come and act and fight for them. But reality is, the Bible tells us that despair is a weapon of the enemy to try to put us down. Because in the Bible we read that there is no such a thing as an unredeemable person or unfixable situation. There is no such a thing in the Bible as lost forever. The Bible is clear that those who are lost can be found. The circumstances that is being broken can be mended. Relationship that is fading away can be brought back to life, because that's the power of God. That's what hope is about. It's about God work in our favor for good. Romans chapter 8, I don't have time to read it for you. I want you to read it on your own. On verses 18, Paul is trying to tell us this, that there is no such a thing as unredeemable to God. There is no situation that God cannot fix, that God cannot come in and intervene. So he goes on verse 18 and he says this, there is more from God to creation. Paul is like, there is more. This is not it. There is more. Your present situation is not it. There is more of God to you. On verses 21, he says this creation will be redeemed. And when we talk, Paul is talking about creation. He's talking not only about trees and birds and rivers. He's talking about all that God has created. He's saying all that God has created will be redeemed. What we know of the world right now will be no more. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 tells, every tear of the eyes will be wiped away. Every pain and suffering will be washed away, because God's going to make something new. Redemption. Verse 23, Paul says, we ourselves will be redeemed. Listen, there is nothing going on in your life right now that God cannot turn around. See, that's why biblical hope teaches us, is that there is nothing going on in our lives that cannot be turned around. God will work good at his own time for your good. We just need to eagerly wait for him to move. That's why you need a wife. See, that's hope right there. When you're falling apart, he'll pick you up. Verse 37, He tells us we already have what we hope for, which is found in Jesus. There is no hopeless person or situation. That's what Paul tells us. Christian hope free us to point our lives to a world fuller future. I want to finish this sermon with this statement. Hope, Christian hope, gets us involved because we know that God is going to act. God is going to intervene in my situation. So I must act. I must take some risk. I must prepare myself to what God is doing next. So hope is that is a grandfather anxiously expecting his first grandchild, who goes to work on his shop making a cradle for that grandbaby, because he's confident that baby will be born and will be born healthy. And that his daughter and son-in-law will be okay. So he goes into his garage, into his workbench and start working on the wood and to shape the pieces. And while he works on that cradle, he prays that that baby will do be well. And he thanks God for what he knows is coming. Hope is a mother whose son is lost working at her pieces of a quilt. As she's knitting that quilt together, she's praying that God would mend the life of her son, that God would bring that son back to her family, and that they would enjoy life as once was. Hope is a father who just lost his job, who is working in fulfilling application and going through interview and going back to college to better himself, expecting and preparing for God's intervention in bringing that next job offer into his doorsteps. Hope is that daughter who is taking care of her mother in the hospital room in expectation of bringing her mom home, for she's dependent on God's and God to act with healing towards the family. Hope is what keeps a cancer patient going and going and going and going and going. Hope is believing in your teenagers with every fiber of your love, even when their absence of good judgment thins your patience to the tiniest thread. Those who live with abundant hope never worried about knowing what's coming around the corner. They're confident it will be good because God is the one working, fighting for them. God is good. Hope keeps us going. Hope looks to the future. Hope says that something good will come in. Because God is in his way. Because God is working in his time, in his way. God is working. And God worked in the life of Jesus by sending him on that manger to give us eternal hope. Those who have biblical hope choose to believe that God did not abandon them. But that God is right beside them, carrying them through every single situation. Viktor Frankl, a physician in the concentration camps, he observed people. He observed that the main difference between those who survived in the concentration camps and those who didn't was not their physical strength, the lack of exposure or illness, or survival of the fittest attitude. The difference was hope. Those who did not survive had given up hope. They chose to believe that God had abandoned them and that there was no future for them. But for us, we know that doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, God has not abandoned us, that he is right beside us. Let's pray. Father, in this season of Advent, many of us are suffering. Their lives that we have lost, their situations that we're facing every day that takes the hope away. Help us to forever rely on you, God. Help us to remember that the God who created the universe is the same God who can fix our mess, the same God who promised to redeem our situation, to redeem our lives. There is no such a thing as unredeemable person. There is no such a thing as the unredeemable circumstances or condition. You are our creator. You know what we need. And what we need is your son, Jesus, coming in our lives and bringing good to the mess we have made. We love you, Lord. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.